This is Wade Rath, your Chief Organizer's Report on three treats on the Yucatan Peninsula. I've always wanted to visit the historic Mayan archaeological sites on the Yucatan Peninsula, and if my father was still alive, that would be on the top of my list of descriptions when he would ask, as he often did in his later years, that I tell him those things he would most like to know about where I had visited. I would also tell him more about industrial tourism than he would want to know, from the rental car ripoffs to the hawkers at Chichen Itza to the weird way the airport disgorges arrivals into the hands of the industry while offering no services, yet runs a mall on departures to get your last peso. Besides the awe in one of the pyramids, there are a couple of special treats that I would share with him and you were you to visit, though it's unlikely I will go there again. At the top of my personal list would be Jardín Botánico Dr. Alfredo Varela Marin. My tribe and I like botanical gardens. Wherever we visit, if we can, we go to get a sense of the local flora and a private window into how the local culture sees their environment. We've visited such gardens all around the world, from Amsterdam to London to our personal favorite in Rio de Janeiro, and scores of others as well. So we know a little bit about what we're talking about here. The Jardín Botánico is almost invisible right off the highway south of Puerto Morales, which also was one of the few beach towns we found that had not been totally industrialized yet, but sadly, we sure will be in another decade. The garden is 65 hectares with 2 kilometers worth of trails. It took us a bit more than an hour to navigate all the main stops, though we wish we had had more time. The garden is well organized and immaculately maintained down to a leaf blower on the main trail, but natural at the same time as you walk in silence over rocks and roots on the path. The signage is excellent. Trees and plants are well labeled, and overall the garden highlights sections for ferns, orchids, palms, succulents, and so forth, including observation towers that allow you to climb up and see this last stretch of mangrove and natural forest between Cancun and Playa del Carmen all the way to the sea, and leave the tower on a swaying wood and wire hanging bridge. The garden has politics too, including an excellent educational look at chiclet production using some of the harvested trees as illustration of the work and the hard efforts of the chicleteros. There was also a Mayan altar found in the forest that allowed them to explore the issues there as well. Not surprisingly, we found the garden was maintained by a women's collective from a city much farther down the peninsula. We loved having the entire garden to ourselves, and we hope others find it in the future. We'd left our morning after Chichen Itza last week and driven more than an hour and a half that day to the Rio Lagartos Biosphere Reserve. The town, Rio Lagartos, is at the eastern end of the coastal strip of the Yucatan Peninsula with the Gulf of Mexico at its northern edge. We didn't take one of the many small motorboats where guides would get closer into the biosphere, but we loved the town and had our best meal of the trip, sitting on a balcony, eating fresh seafood in a steady breeze and watching pink flamingos in the wild through my binoculars across the water as they fed along the shore. Gorgeous as well as wild. Pelicans swooped down along with other birds and pairs of kites. The birds, not the plastic with string and tail, flew over us constantly. Although the guidebooks all say that you'll see crocodiles, they're just confused because lagartos means lizard. It was originally what the Spanish called alligators to distinguish them from crocodiles, which they knew well from Egypt and Africa. And in fact, el lagartos became the English word alligators when Florida changed hands between the Spanish and the British, and the Spanish began using caiman in order not to confuse alligators for lizards, which we find in the Grand Cayman Islands, for example. Regardless, a deep dive into the biosphere might be one of the few treats that would bring me back to the Yucatan. Last on my personal list was a trip at 6 a.m. on the Punta Sam ferry from Isla de Mujeres to Cancun to fly back home. Leaving nothing to chance, we were second in line, arriving just before 5 a.m. as the rope was lowered on a Saturday morning, knowing that if we missed the pre-dawn trip, we would miss our flight home. The fast track for tourists is the passenger-only ferry at Puerto Juarez, but this is a working ferry. There were already trucks parked and waiting overnight who were the main business of the boat. The dozen or so passenger cars and pickups were almost an afterthought to the big rigs. For an hour, we were part of the island's community. The ticket collector put out instant coffee, styrofoam cups, and constantly refilled hot water, and we joined the drivers in stirring a cup in the darkness of the pre-dawn as they chatted and joked, in some cases woke from the seats of their trucks while waiting to cross the water to work. The ferry crew managed to whistle and cajole the trucks and our few cars into tight spaces for the 40-odd minute ride over. Even without a car, just being part of this, watching the loading and the beauty of the sea crossing would be worth the trip from Punta Sam and a feeling of the authenticity of the island before tourism overwhelmed it. My daughter would add snorkeling and swimming in a cenote, and if I'd done either, they might be on this list as well, but the Mayan ruins and these three treats were more than enough for me and my compañera. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.